As the 1960s ended, Herbie Hancock embarked on a grand creative experiment, having just been dismissed from the Miles Davis Quintet. He set out on the road playing with his first touring group as a leader until he eventually formed what would become a revolutionary band. Taking the Swahili name Mwandishi, the group would go on to play some of the most innovative music of the 1970s. Fusing an assortment of musical genres, American and African cultures, and acoustic and electronic sounds into groundbreaking experiments that helped shape the American popular music that followed. In his new book, You'll Know When You Get There, Bob Gluck offers the first study of the seminal group, mapping the musical, technological, political, and cultural changes that they not only lived in, but also affected. Bob Gluck is associate professor of music, a jazz historian, and director of the Electronic Music Studio at the State University of New York in Albany, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Bob to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the book. It's quite an undertaking.
Thank you. Yeah, it required bringing together a whole long list of disciplines and musical forms of expression, yeah.
My question is going to sound flip, and I don't mean it to be, which is there a point where you say, oh, this would be a really great idea, and then sort of the devil on your shoulder says, eh, maybe not?
Well, that point usually comes when it's time to write the index for the book.
Yeah.
I mean, boy, why did I ever get myself into that? Well, I didn't start out trying to write a book. I started out giving talks at academic conferences about that were electronic and computer music conferences. And I started bringing in this band and a couple of others as examples that I thought that field should take seriously and just didn't. And then I found myself having talked to all the members of this band that I realized I was really writing a book. So it crept up on me. So there never was a moment where I had to say, oh boy, don't do this.
How much of this, I mean, the story really hinges on Herbie Hancock and who he is, right? I mean, that's the baseline of knowing him to understand the influence and what he was able to create with this band and with this music.
Well, it does and it doesn't. I mean, this was the point where he's 30, he's reaching his maturity, he's really out on his own for the first time, and he's bringing further ideas that were developed while he was with Miles Davis. But he somehow attracts this group of fellow musicians, and it's hard to say why or how this body of people ended up really in the same room, and each of them are distinctive, and only as a whole does the band make any sense. So it's both Herbie, but also it's really the conglomerate of these personalities and people with varied musical backgrounds and skills and interests.
But it is not safe to say, and I ask it only because I got the impression in reading the book that he was really sort of the one that was guiding it and bringing it together. I mean, yes, there was luck involved, but there was still the person who was stir, mix, and enjoy.
Totally. Totally. One of the interesting things that some of the band members have told me is that they'd be playing, and this particular band was really guided by intuition and how their improvisations unfolded, less by conventional musical forms. So they'd be playing and they'd be taking surprising directions, and one member would jump out front and the others would follow, but they all realized that it was almost as if Herbie Hancock was channeling every one of them.
Yeah.
That he was somehow behind all of it, even when they were developing their own ideas. So it was a funny mix of those things, but very much Herbie Hancock.
In the book, you start off by talking about his formative years of working as a sideman, of being with Miles Davis, of being in that bebop era, of what impact that had on him later when he was on his own.
Well, the largest way that playing with Miles impacted him was really that he watched this model of a band leader who didn't tell anybody what to do, who clearly knew what he wanted, but allowed each person a lot of space. There was no such thing as a mistake. And as the Miles Davis Quintet was moving through its evolution, starting around 1965, 66, 67, increasingly their improvisations were open and freely flowing and guided by intuition. And it was really those ideas that Herbie Hancock saw as models for leading a new group of his own.
And what about working with Miles Davis? I mean, did that have an effect on him of how he would work with other groups in the future?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, certainly the I know what I want, but don't tell people what to do. Trust people, trust musicians, treat them well, be open to surprises. Those were all things that were very much Miles.
What was it about this group where he would take the Swahili name of Mwandishi and say, okay, this is what we're going to do? How symbolic was just the name of what it was that they were doing?
Well, the idea behind the names really goes back to 1969 and the musician M. Toomey, who was the nephew of Albert Tutti Heath, who was the drummer with Herbie Hancock. And this was at a time when M. Toomey was connected to the US organization in Los Angeles, out of which flowed the idea of Kwanzaa. And for Herbie Hancock, it was the beginning of his kind of taking on a sense of pride in being black, of affirming an African heritage. But it also meant something that was not really so politicized, which was the sense that this was a touring band. They played together for 3 years, day in and day out together, and they began to operate as a family, and taking on the Swahili names was almost like a way of having a shared family name.
What was it about, you know, you say 3 years, and I guess in musical terms that can be a very, very long time, and then when you look at the longevity of his career, it's not that long.
Well, three and a half years is a really long time for most bands to be together, especially ones like this that weren't so commercially viable. There was a precursor band. When Herbie Hancock first went out on his own, the Herbie Hancock Sextet, which slowly over time changed personnel and morphed into the Mwandishi band, was a band that he loved. I saw them play when I was in ninth grade. They were fabulous. But they were able to stay together for a little more than a year. Economic opportunities wouldn't support people's ability to earn a living, and bands would come apart. So this was a long time.
Did you talk to Herbie Hancock for the book?
I did.
What were those discussions like?
Well, I spoke to Herbie Hancock on the phone and in person, and we've continued to email over the last few years. He's very candid. He's a warm, friendly person, quite open about his own history and his musical ideas, and they were really wonderful.
Was he proud of that time and the music that was created in that period?
Enormously, enormously. Yeah, this was a really important moment in his life.
How... Now, if you go and you see Herbie Hancock play, how much of this music is incorporated into the set list?
That's a great question. Little or none of it's in the set list. However, if you go to see Herbie Hancock play now, and I've seen him, I think, three, four times in the last just handful of years, what you'll see is a set list that moves around the various parts of his career and the various kinds of music he loves to play. And one thing that was notable at this band was they all happened at once in the same moment. All these various influences and genres and sensibilities all were happening at once. So this is not so much a kind of music that you'd pull the tunes and he would play them now. It's more about, although I do some of that, actually, with some of my own musicians. But it was more of the experience of playing with these particular musicians.
And a lot of that's just jazz, right? I mean, that in the moment of the moment, it's here now and it will not be replicated in that same way again.
Well, that's one of the wonderful things about jazz. But in a sense, it's really true of all music. When people
Sure.
are really being fully themselves and fully present in the moment, allowing things to unfold and to be surprised by, yourself. I think the whole idea from Miles of there are no mistakes. Herbie Hancock tells a story of in the middle of sort of the heightened point of a Miles Davis solo, Herbie plays what he thought was a clunker. And what he noticed was that Miles adjusted to it, incorporated what he had done on the piano, which he thought was a mistake, and made it right. And that was an example of just being really present right there. And that can happen in any kind of music.
When he left Miles Davis, was that his decision or Miles Davis's decision?
Well, first I want to say I think I do very little of talking about people's personal issues in the book. But this one's very much public record.
Because he was getting to do more rock and electronic, and he was getting to do stuff that he wasn't, that he didn't want to do, right?
I don't think it was so much that. I think it was more of that, here's this guy, he's turning 30, he's been with Miles for 5 years, and I think Miles knows it's time for him to be out on his own.
Yeah.
And, you know, the specifics of that really don't matter as much. And indeed, it was time for him to be out on his own, and, you know, he then took everything he learned.
Fly, and, be free.
Yeah, yeah. And the rest is history.
The name of the book is You'll Know When You Get There, Herbie Hancock and the Mwandishi Band. On Thursday night, September 13th at 7 o'clock, Bob Gluck will be giving a talk at the Bookhouse in Stuyvesant Plaza in Albany. On Saturday at 5, he'll be at the Chatham Bookstore in Chatham, New York. That one will include him playing some musical examples on the piano as well. And you can find out more information by going to Bob's website, which is electronicsongs.com, electronicsongs.com. Bob, I thank you very much for coming in. Best of luck with the book. It's good to have you here.
Thanks so much.
Thanks very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.